baccalaureate speaker is a person who understands the purpose of Christian education. He has chosen a profession that gives him the opportunity to teach to that purpose. But far more importantly, he has adopted a lifestyle that focuses on Christian education's purpose, redemption. For the full potential of Christian education to be realized, the church must be energetic and effective in ministering to its children, and the home must concentrate all of its energies on making certain that each member of that family has a clear picture of God. Our speaker has ministered to both his church family and his personal family in a way that demonstrates his understanding of the human and the divine roles in order to attain the purpose of Christian education. And so, guests, the members of the Village Church and school family, and the graduating class, we thank you, Miroslav Kish, for being our baccalaureate speaker this morning.
Our scripture reading for this morning will be from Genesis 19. It says in your bulletin verse 17, but it will be verses 15 through 17. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." Father, bless the reading of your word.
He stood there, still hesitant, in his 60s or 70s, reluctant, not ready to answer and to do what he was asked to do. But in fact, he didn't have choice, not now. Now it was a question of life and death. Lot, towards the end of his life, has to run to save the life of his family and his own life. Tragedy, failure. Here you are, arriving finally at this memorable day, graduating. You're not arriving here to stay, but to take off. You are landing on a runway. But where are you going to run from here? In what direction and at what price? What will I say to you this morning? First, I want to thank you for the privilege to share the Word of God with you. I was watching you grow, and I was touched to tears to see many of you sealing your covenant with Christ today. Your class text tells me that you have been thinking about where to go from now. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "In his heart man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps." But I would like you to turn with me to Proverbs verse 16, chapter 16, and read also a sister verse to that one, to verse 9. Verse 25. My translation says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is a way to death." A way, yes. Running, yes. We have to. But in which direction? How do we know which way to take? I have chosen this morning to think very briefly with you about the experience of Lot. I don't want you to be in 60s and 70s. and have his experience. We will be looking also at the experience of his uncle Abraham. And we will distill out of our thinking this morning one principle which I would like you to take with you from this baccalaureate service, which will help you find the right way. That way will not only seem right, but it will be right. There was a time in Lot's life when he had a choice to make. He was standing behind Abraham. And in chapter 13, verse 8 to 12, we are told that Abraham told Lot, "Let us not fight anymore. Let's separate. You choose whichever side you want. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right hand, then I will go to the left." That's Genesis chapter 13. And the Lot lifted his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley, well watered everywhere like a garden of the Lord. So verse 11 says, Lot chose for himself all the valley of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, thus separated from each other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, while Lot dwelt among the cities of the valley, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. On the one hand, hills, uncultivated, deserted almost, just pastures, shrubs, livestock, and semi-nomadic life. That was one alternative for Lot. On the other hand, Valley of Jordan. Green, fertile, booming cities, life of ease and comfort. It was obvious, and Abraham understood. Who will not opt for prosperity and success? Lot was ambitious, looking for opportunities like you are, for business, for culture, for some fun in life. And Scripture says he moved his tent until he came to Sodom. And while Abram lived in tents, we find in Genesis chapter 19, verse 2, that Lot bought a house. He was prosperous. He was well established among the city people. His daughters found their future husbands. It was cozy and secure existence. He was respected and successful. The way seemed right, but it wasn't. It wasn't. His life was in danger, and he couldn't believe it. That day was business as usual. There were no wars, no drought, no plague. Why is it that these visitors, the angels who came to visit him, chase him out of his home, out of his city, out of his business and his prosperity, and give him no choice? One angel, after he hesitated, Scripture says, took him firmly by his arm, and with a stern and authoritative voice, he gave the itinerary to him and his family, back to those same hills where you came from. Why? What went wrong? Is it bad to look for opportunities? What are you going to do tomorrow? Should you not work for success and respect? Which way will you choose? Don't you want to be rich, to have a family, to have a home one day, to have a status in society? You certainly do not want to come to Lot's age and to stand at his place where in hurry he would have to abandon everything he worked for and to see his savings go up in smoke. What was wrong in Lot's choice? The land was rich and prosperous. He shouldn't have failed. He adapted himself to the society and was respected. He worked hard for his living and he was losing his life. How can that be? The way seemed right, but the end was the way of death. One thing, one principle, which I would like you to remember as you leave this sanctuary. There was one mistake that Lot made which we should not make. The price. The price Lot paid for his wealth, for his status in society, for his beautiful house, for his fun, for entertainment, the price. The price was more than he should have paid. There is nothing wrong in being wealthy, in having high position in society, in having power, beautiful house, in having fun, nothing wrong with it. But as you go through life, dear graduates, ask for a price. In Patriarchs and Prophets, we are told, there were cities, wealthy and beautiful, inviting to profitable traffic in their crowded markets. Dazzled with visions of worldly gains, Lot overlooked the moral and spiritual evils that would be encountered there. The inhabitants of the plain were sinners before the Lord exceedingly, but of this he was ignorant, or knowing, gave it but a little weight. He paid with his life for things like money and fame. He gave God's presence for friends. Abraham's story is completely different, diametrically opposed and different from Lot's experience. Abraham was rich, exceedingly rich. At one place, Scripture says the land could not carry them. He was powerful. One of the kings had his own army, can you imagine? His own army. And at one time, Scripture tells us that he was stronger than 5 or 6 kings delivering Lot, who was taken prisoner. Yet, he didn't have to fail to declare bankruptcy, to run for life, because he was running for life all the time. He has chosen the way which seemed right, and it was the right way. Why? Because Abraham didn't want to pay the price that Lot paid for it. I'm not a businessman. I used to be for 3.5 years of my life. But there are certain things in business that I know. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And 2 other things I know. And that is, Kendall Hill is waiting now to see what I'm going to say. The difference between capital and interest. If I'm right, capital is what you are, what you have, what your financial worth is. Interest is what that capital earns. Now let me ask you a question. What is wiser, to spend interest or capital? If you have to spend money, what would you like to spend first? Interest or capital? Interest. Definitely interest. Capital is not for spending, it's for investing. And to Abraham, his friendship with God was a capital which he didn't want to spend for anything. He didn't want to sell for his friends, friendship with God. He did not want to sell honesty and kindness for money. Abraham would not engage in occupation if he were a graduate of 1988. He would not sell for his relationship with God any occupation that would crowd out God's presence. I remember George came to this country not long time ago, and in Southern California he opened video business. At first he decided to keep only decent films. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. But then competition came, and I have to condense the story. He realized that big buck is where violence is, where X-rated films are. And George gave in. He sold the capital of his nice life, of his peaceful life, peaceful neighborhood, and solid family life for money. What happened? Well, he didn't allow that some of those films be shown in his home. They were shown in the neighborhood. Not only within the years, several years, the neighborhood deteriorated, but within a few months only, the kind of clients that came to his shop deteriorated. Abram did not want to sell his capital of clear conscience, of friendship with God, of honesty and purity, of a character that is solidly based on what is loving in God's sight for nothing. Not for money, not for fame, not for power. In the first place, the highest price Abraham put on cultivating his inner life on heights of nobility that were worthy of friendship with God. His sense of integrity was first. And bucks and power and fame came as interest to that capital. This is what Jesus wants to tell us in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all of those things, and Lot among them. This is not in my scripture, I added. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be given to you as interest. Lot's tragedy was not his ambition, not his perceptiveness, not his capacities to use opportunities as they should be used, but the price he paid. He sold his capital for non-essential things. He became estranged from God, from himself, and from life. Money, power consumed him. If you read the events in his subsequent life, you will find out the evidences that he was addicted to alcohol, and that his family's moral life was very low. Very subtly, imperceptibly, the lifestyle of the business community, the lifestyle of the cities, entered in the house. in his mercy. The angel commanded to him, flee for your life. Put the capital above interest. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Detach yourself from the old habits of wasting the essentials for what is fleeting. And flee to the hills of honesty, purity, and God's presence, lest thou be consumed. A few months ago, Mike met Jim again. They are in their late 60s now. They grew up together. Together they were taken to the war. Together in their war years, they progressed in ranks in the army. At the end of the war in 1945, they both had a rank of major in the army. And if you can imagine what that meant, when nobody in Yugoslavia except few officials had cars, Mike and Jim had a car and a chauffeur. They had power, they had money, they had everything. Months passed, they spoke together very often. They couldn't go to church. They had to give up their religion. They had to make a decision. They knew it. And Jim made his. He stayed in the army. Today he is a retired general. Mike decided differently. He decided that he is not going to spend capital for interest. He submitted resignation. He was tortured. At one time, he came to execution. They put a bag over his head, and his mother was watching. Instead of executing him, they pardoned him. They just wanted to see how committed he is to his capital, whether he will not be dazzled by interest. So he left the army and became a shoemaker. And now they met. Jim, retired general. His wife left him. One son was killed intoxicated in an accident. The other one is in mental institution after taking too many drugs. And he lives alone on a bench in a park. And Mike passed by with his three children, all of them involved in business, all of them in a church, happy, singing. Dear friends, I have lived long enough to know that difference is that striking. Amen. Here you stand. You have arrived to depart. But which way will you turn? Which way is the right way? I wish you happiness. I wish you success, fame, riches, and power. But not if you seek those first. Have all of this not as price for friendship with God, but as result from friendship with God. Seek ye first kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be given unto you. For Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 26, for what will it profit to a man, to a graduate of 1988, if he gains the whole world and one day angel would hold him at his hand and say, run for your life. What would you gain? So this afternoon, an angel does hold your arm. And you have really no choice. His order is, run for your life. Not for bucks, for fame. They will come as interest. His order is also, do not look back or stop in the valley of unworthy and base existence. But flee to the hills to the heights of friendship with God, pure and noble character. This is my prayer for you this morning.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.